Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the Disney Brit podcast for Wednesday, the 5th of January 2011, the first show of the new year. Thank you for joining us, and first off, Happy New Year. Well, what have we got for you on this edition of the show? Well, as always, Juz and Craig join me. We go through some of the news and rumours for both Disney World, Disneyland Paris, some UK-based events, and also Disney movies. And then we bring you a segment inspired by one of our listeners, which is looking at advice and tips for visiting Walt Disney World or Disneyland Paris, any Disney park really, if you've not been for a few years. So the places that might be worth taking a visit. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit podcast. Welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of... Oh, that's just disgusting, isn't it? Quite frankly. Oh, man. You can tell he's back. This is the news and rumours for this edition of the show. I'm not even going to cut that out. I'm not even going to edit that.
Don't do that.
Everyone can know what a minger you are. So, starting off with, as always, hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney pop people. Hello, Adam. And that wasn't me he was talking about.
Because also Craig is here. Hello, Craig.
Hello everyone, and that wasn't me, that was my leftover cheese and biscuits for Christmas.
Which and pickled onion.
That's just us being rock and roll, fair show.
Which I was going to eat them quietly, and that was a little joke, so, and he's going to leave them, so now I'm just going to eat them all through the show, so okay. I apologise that you're going to now hear me. Yeah. So, I'm going to now go for a little bit of mature cheddar on a little one of those little Hovis ones.
So, we're in all rock and roll tonight. I'm Sandra Duvet because it's cold, and Craig's eating cheese and crackers. It's sad.
Down south with some biscuits, old boy, not crackers.
Okay, biscuits, whatever you want to call them. It is 2011, first one for the new year. How was your Christmases and New Year's?
Okay.
Yeah, right, average.
Yeah, all right, not bad.
It's all over now, isn't it? It's kind of...
Done, dusted, finished with. Yeah,
it's a bit rubbish.
I'll feed the same.
Any gum. Disney-related Christmas presents?
Yeah, I got some. I saw you on Come Fly With Me, Adam. You and Zoe.
That's because he's thick.
Yeah. Those of you who are in the USA listening to this, it may be on BBC America at some point. New series Come Fly With Me. You have to watch the first episode for the couple who are obsessed by Disney.
It's funny. No, I got. Well, I say the kids got some bits. I got Epic Mickey, which I've had a little play with, and it's very good. And they got lots of other Disney things that kids would have got. But I myself got nothing.
Jess?
I didn't get a thing. Do you know what? This is just a ploy so Adam can talk about himself.
Yeah. Come there, Adam.
It is.
What did you get?
I got some tigger pajamas and some tigger slippers, and I got... I say it's for me, but it's really for the whole house. We've got a new Mickey Mouse telephone that goes in the living room that when people ring, it speaks to you, which is quite cool. But that's about it. So let's do some news then, shall we? And let's see what's going on. There's a little bit of news for the new year, so I'm going to sort of start us off. A lot of it is to do with sort of refurbs or different bits and pieces like that, or Donald Duck, which is an interesting one, which we'll come to a little bit later. But to start off with, to let you know about Fantasia Gardens Mini Golf, which is over towards sort of the Swan and Dolphin area of Walt Disney World. That is going to be closing for refurb on Monday, or it has closed for refurb as of Monday the 3rd of January. That's going to be closed until mid-February. The Gardens course, which is the other course that's part of Fantasia Gardens, is going to remain open, and both the Winter and Summerland courses are also going to be open. But just to let you know, that is going to be closing as of Monday, the 3rd of January. Have either of you played over at Fantasia Gardens?
It's my favourite one out of all of them.
Yeah, it's... Go on, Craig, sorry.
So I've done the Winter Summerland, but it's blooming expensive if you're not staying on Disney.
Yeah, it is quite... They're not the cheapest, I must admit. But yeah, certainly if you're in the UK and you are staying on site, you can get vouchers that gives you sort of... so many people free, things like that have been happening. Just to let you know, because obviously there are two completely different courses that are there. The Fantasia course is basically the fun one of the two. I'm right thinking that, aren't I?
Yep.
The Fantasia Gardens is obviously based on Fantasia. It has like the hippos and it has Sorcerer's Apprentice. The other one there, which is the garden course, that is like, think of golf course and miniature. And that's basically what it is. It's just a miniature golf course. Whereas the Fantasia Gardens is more of your fun one. So if you are...
Why didn't you just say, think of it as a miniature golf course? Why do you have to say, think of it as a golf course, then think of it as a miniature?
But it's like,
put those two words together, turn them round, it's a miniature golf course.
So if you're looking for a course that's still, you know, full of fun items you can hit or pass through, those sort of things, then it's Winter Summerland you need to head over to. Okay, there we go. That took longer than I expected it to. Just let's head over to Epcot as we're nearby.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, we've wandered through to Epcot and I'm a bit peckish. I'm going to Via Napoli. Yeah, and for the time being, they're offering the pizza by the slice. Don't get too excited. You can now enjoy the Sicilian style margherita pizza by the slice at the pickup podium at Via Napoli. An a la carte single serving dessert and a fountain beverage can also be available. The pizza price is the same price as it costs to buy a whole pizza at Flippers. It's $6.50. This is the first time they've offered slices, so I think it's going to see how it goes, and they'll probably be pushing out from there. I know Adam loves it, the pizza, and so does Craig, but I'm sorry, $6.50. That's a whole pizza in my book.
Just a lot for a slice of pizza, I must admit. It's only obviously till the 7th, but I think, you know, if they've gone to the effort of putting the piece of slice there and people have been asking for it, I'd be surprised if it doesn't stay. Would you pay $6.50 for a slice, Craig?
No.
Okay.
But then I paid $40 for the great big one, which I managed to polish off.
$40?
Yeah, it was the meter long, half meter long one. Yeah, I mean, it was massive, does it? Would have, you know, well, maybe it would have done me and you. It would have done two big eaters. So, I mean, it is a lot of money, but, you know, it's the best pizza you're going to get in that part of America, in my mind.
He was just about to say the best pizza you can get in America, and we're going to have floods of emails then, won't we?
Yeah. That part of America.
That's what he meant.
Is that what he meant? Right, okay.
Yeah, email Craig at ihateamericanpizza.com.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on from there then. Let's head over to Hollywood Studios.
You know, think about Craig then. What really should do is have a UK pavilion, a cheese and cracker and pickled onion stand, and Craig will be all the time.
Wouldn't that be good to have proper, you know, British cheeses?
See,
and
I still stand by.
I'm going to have a bit of Stilton now.
And the three of us should open a tea room in Epcot, which is a proper British tea room that you can do your ADRs for and come in and have a proper.
What, PG tips, Tetley, yeah, Yorkshire tea, all of those.
Get your sandwiches, cucumber sandwiches, and your little bits of cake and your scones and all that sort of stuff, and proper clotted cream. That'd be a great addition to the UK Pavilion.
I prefer the cheese and cracker stall opposite. I'll be taking you out of business, sunshine.
Right, it's on. Right, let's head over to Hollywood Studios then. Craig, what's going on over there?
Sad. You two don't care, but I quite liked it. So the Block Party Bash has come to an end. It was Disney's New Year's resolution to get rid of quite a good parade and replace it with something unknown. So it was just approaching its third anniversary. It started in March 2008. It started in Disney, California. And then it came over... and it's gone. So now we have to welcome in the new parade, which is, what did you name it? Pixar something or other, Adam?
Oh, I can't remember now. It was the Pixar something. It was just lots of peas.
Mine was okay, the best name. Can't remember it, though.
Yeah, just... Well, so they didn't listen to either of you.
The opportunity is to listen back to the Destination Disney Radio podcast and find out.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, they didn't listen to the pair of you because they think you don't know what you're talking about. And actually, Juz and I are the ones with the right idea.
Woohoo! But
they came up with Pixar Pals Countdown to Fun.
That's the one I had.
There you go. And it's going to begin on January the 16th. So if you're going between now and January the 16th, you're not going to get a parade. But there's going to be some early performances, you see, because they thought about that. So they're going to do some test runs throughout the kind of weeks leading up to that. And off you go. Pixar Pals, new parade. It's going to have Monsters, Inc., Bugs Life, Toy Story, blah, blah, blah. But they haven't got Doug the Squirrel. So I'm not going to go and watch it in protest.
Because Doug's not a squirrel.
Well, Doug and the squirrel then. Okay, I'm going to have another bite of cheese for that.
You can't say there's not a squirrel called Doug in the world, so it could be right. No,
there is, because the squirrel that comes into my garden is called Doug.
There you go.
Thanks for that mouthful of cheese.
Yeah.
Eat some dinger. But there are a few photos about looking at the parade and some of the trial runs, and there's some good-looking sort of new floats up there. I think they look quite cool.
Yeah. It's not. It'll be more to me. It's not really about the floats. It's about what catchy tune they're going to have with it.
Yes, that's true. We don't know what the tune is yet. They've not released any of that. Hopefully, we'll be able to get hold of that very, very soon, which would be quite cool because we'll play that in the show. Right, heading out of the parks then. That's really all the news we've got for Walt Disney World. But we're going to be going over to Pennsylvania because there was an incident back in 2008 in Epcot where the plaintiff, April McGolan, was accused Donald Duck of an act of molestation. And the court was being heard in Pennsylvania. And Disney have Walt Disney Company have tried to move the case to Florida. But because... April and her fiancé and the doctors are all located in the state, it's justified the decision to leave the case within that particular border rather than moving it over to Florida. Now, she's seeking charges in excess of $50,000 and has claimed that the incident has resulted in severe physical injury, emotional anguish and distress.
Give me a break.
But not least limited to post-traumatic stress disorder. She is obviously going ahead with this. It's going to be happening this year, and we'll see what the verdict of that is. Now, I think Juz might want to say something before Craig, our in-house lawyer, has his say. So, Juz, anything you'd like to say?
It's just stupid, absolutely stupid. In the court, do they hold up a doll of Donald and go, "Where did he touch you on the doll?" Or is that then classed as more traumatic? The fact she has nightmares from it being touched, I don't know. This is just legal system gone mad. I'm very surprised. 50,000, why not go 50 million? Why not go the whole hog? It's just stupid. At the end of the day, what's going to happen is you're going to go up and have a picture with the character, and the characters will be told they cannot touch children, they cannot hug children, they've got to be an arm's distance away from, a wing's distance away from children. Yeah, and this is what's going to end up with. The characters will be separate from the kids and adults because of these kind of stupid allegations. So well done, you're ruining it for everyone else following up because of your stupid claim. Good on you.
It's true, because we took Harry to see Santa this Christmas, and we went in to see Santa, and Santa told him to go and sit on the stool next to him. And it's like when you were little, you used to sit on Santa's knee, and that doesn't happen anymore. I may regret saying this, but Craig, what are your thoughts?
Well, she's suing Santa as well, because he did sit on it. To me, what's happened here is, right, she hasn't got her year's free ticket to Disney or whatever thing she expected to get because she made a complaint. And so she's an American, she doesn't want to lose any kind of face, so she's going to go for it. But, you know, you're quite right, Juz, why not go $50 million if you're that affected by a six-foot duck? Absolute bonkers. You know, she should get everything that comes to her. I hope she loses and gets to pay costs and is bankrupted because it serves her right, silly. In the words of her Marnie, what an idiot. I should leave it at that.
There we go. Right, let's head on a plane. We're flying over to Disneyland Paris. We've got one piece of Disneyland Paris news for you, which Juz is going to bring us, and I know he's enthralled by it.
It's not that I'm enthralled, yeah. It's just I'm bored of Tangled. They've hyped this movie before I've seen it. I'm bored. I'm not even going to watch it now because I'm bored of it. The 50th full-length animated classic by Walt Disney Studio has made its big screen debut around Europe, and as usual, has made its... debut in Disneyland Paris. That was a hard word to say, debut. Rapunzel and Flynn are available for meet and greets at the Royal Castle stage daily during the start of the Christmas season. We'll be there for probably ever and ever. They'll be at every single resort you go. And surprisingly enough, Disney for the first time ever has made merchandise to follow this film, dedicated to the animation feature. And so you can actually go and get from the larger boutiques, you can get, and the hotels and Disney Village, you can get dolls, there's merchandise, there's fluffy toys, a Rapunzel dress for Adam. So there's all sorts of things there. But yeah, Rapunzel, well and truly, Tangled has hit Disneyland Paris, and they will milk it for everything. I just, My only complaint with this, and I know you've seen it, he said, oh, it's amazing. And Craig seen it, went, yeah, it was okay. Is the fact that they just hyped it before in advance and I got bored of it. Bit like Tron, really. They put you off films now because you feel like you've seen everything and heard everything before the film comes.
But I thought they'd released the merchandise quite late because you've had Rapunzel and Flynn Rider in the park since sort of Christmassy time. And it's taken them a while to get the merchandise out. I thought they'd be hot on the trail of bringing the characters out as meet and greet.
No, because they've been doing all the other stuff, haven't they, with the princess and the frog and then Tronophon.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Jazz, because I've seen the film, so it's perfect timing for me.
And can I point out, Craig loved it. You're saying Craig
I did love it. Right. I loved it. I thought it was great, but I'm not quite sure how they're going to meet in the park, though, because they're only a cartoon character. They weren't real.
Pango's Disney's model.
Exactly. They've got a problem there.
A few more listeners. Brilliant. But no, Rapunzel's a great movie. It's coming out end of this month, so those people who have not seen it yet, I think me and Craig will probably review it, will we not, on the next show?
If I get a word in, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a word in.
You'll be our pushed.
And there's another place you can read a review, which we'll come to in a second. Before we do that, heading into the UK then, and Craig, I think Disney on Ice are coming back.
Disneyland Adventure Tour is coming. It says, don't miss this roller coaster adventure. And I was quite excited when I read that because I thought we were going to get a Disney roller coaster. But they're just using that as a play on words. They're going to catch the next Laugh Out Loud Fun with Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse in Disney on Ice presents a Disneyland adventure. So you can join your favourite characters on a trip through Disneyland Park. I wonder if you've got kind of like the crowded street outside where all like the, you know, the 7-Eleven is. And through incredible excitement when you enjoy everyone's favourite superhero and they turn up and save the day. It sounds wonderful. So don't miss this amazing production. I've got some dates for you as well. It is in the LG Arena in Birmingham, 23rd to 27th of February. So if you want to go to Birmingham, have a look around before coming to Mouse Meets. Good one to go there. It's in the Echo Arena Liverpool, where Juz is going to go, on the 2nd to the 6th of March. Adam will sort you out some tickets, Juz, take you and the family. Wembley Arena London, 9th to the 13th of March. The AECC PJ Sandwich Arena in Aberdeen.
Oh, Sandwich Arena.
16th to the 20th of March. And the Motorpoint Arena in Sheffield, if it's still standing after the earthquake, is 27th to the 25th to 27th of March. So there's none near Leicester, Adam. You have to go over to Birmingham, mate, if you want to go see it.
Can I point out, don't go to the LG Arena in Birmingham to see it and expect to see Mouse Meets in the same weekend, because it doesn't work. It's about 2 months apart.
Yeah, but you can go, you know, get your hotel sorted out. Go over there, have a look around, see how easy it is to get there.
It might be. Craig, don't let the cat out of the bag, the fact that we've actually got a better Mouse Meets before his.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, shh.
Ah, sorry.
No, but we've told everyone's coming.
I'm excited about this one. And the reason I'm excited about this one is because this is the one which really centres upon all of the rides themselves, where they take part of Big Thunder Mountain. They do another bit which has got Pirates of the Caribbean, and they use those rides as part of the actual show itself, whereas all the other ones have been very much based around the movies. This one is actually based around the attractions, which is what I'm quite excited about. So let's just go and just quickly tell you, you've got the Jungle Cruise is in there, you've got the Tiki Room in there, you've got Space Mountain, Mad Tea Party, all of those sort of attractions that are going to appear as part of it. Which would be quite cool. So I'm looking forward to going to see that. Hopefully. Right. You're all being nasty on Skype now. I think they're really funny. And the truth is they're not.
Here we are.
You're just mean. And see, I think listeners realise just how mean you are to me. Anyway, two movies coming out in 2012, and also, well, say a movie and a cartoon short coming out, which we've been given some more information about. Monsters, Inc. 2, and what is going to be a Toy Story tune that's going to be coming at the beginning of a movie. We don't know which yet, but let's give you a little bit of a rundown as to what's going to be happening with regards to this. Monsters, Inc. 2 is slated to open in the US November the 2nd, 2012. So expect that to probably be a February 2013 release in this country. But in true style, Monsters, Inc. 2 is actually going to be a prequel to the original. It's going right back to the time when Mike Wazowski was a top comedian and James P. Sullivan was not a scarer, because actually they were both at the University of Fear. So we're going way back to the point when they were at school, before they even worked as scarers. Although the two start off as enemies, apparently, in the film, they don't like each other at all. Monsters, Inc. 2 is going to chart how they go from enemies to the best of friends and how they end up over at Monsters, Inc. Laugh Factory. So, sounds like an interesting new storyline, yes, no?
Because it wasn't called Monsters, Inc. Laugh Factory, so they wouldn't have ended up there.
Yeah, well, you know...
Well, I'll just make a note, Disney person doesn't know what he's talking about. Sorry, Mr. Disney doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's fine.
Self-proclaimed Mr. Disney.
Once again, I just obviously haven't researched my material enough. Right, no. Let's...
Well, I love Monsters, Inc., so I'm really looking forward to it. It's one of my favourite films.
It's a long way off, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a long way off, yeah. A long, long way. We've got The Bear and the Bow, I think, to come first. I don't know what else they've got, because they were doing, was it Newt, I think it was called, they were making, and that seems to have been cancelled. So I don't know what else they're going to be doing with that. But rumoured to be coming in front of one of the upcoming Pixar movies, I'm not sure whether it's going to be Cars 2 this year, or whether it might indeed be Monsters, Inc. 2, is the new Toy Story 2. We haven't got a name for it yet, but apparently the story could be the following. Bonnie, remember the little girl from Toy Story 3, who's been given all of the toys to look after, she's off to Hawaii, and Barbie and Ken are excited to go along for their first ever tropical vacation, but they're accidentally left behind. Q, problem, Buzz and Woody and the rest of the toys are going to help create a Hawaiian paradise right in Bonnie's bedroom. That's all we know, and that's another little... we think it's probably going to come in front of Cars 2. What do you think? Is this a good idea? Do you think this is going to drag more people to go and see Cars 2? Does it need a Toy Story short before it?
No, I can't see the point, really.
It doesn't need one. I don't think it needs one at all. Cars 2 is going to pull loads of people in. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a brilliant film. Everyone's looking forward to it. The trailer they had before Tangled was really funny. I just think they need to play that. And what I don't want them to do with Toy Story is just to milk it, just to have the, you know, it's a funny little story they're going to come with. I'm sure it'd be great, but there's no need for it. And then I don't want them to do spin-off Toy Story cartoons and all the rest of it. Just leave it as three films, be done with it, and come up with another brilliant idea.
Yeah, that's the worry, isn't it? And they're going to start doing spin-off short cartoons like they did with Mater's Tall Tales, which are funny. But there's that risk that they take Toy Story too far and it becomes a franchise that's flogged to death rather than something that's been left on a high like Toy Story 3 did. It's interesting they're putting the short in front of Cars 2 because of the fact that Cars 2 is going to drag people in no matter what. You would think that they'd probably want to put it in front of a film that's lesser known, that hasn't necessarily got so much of a hype behind it because it's not a sequel, and put it in front of something like that. But there you go. Right, there's all the news. And that's pretty much everything there, so let's move on to the rest of the show.
Woohoo!
Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, bigger and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do, just me and you.
Columbus Vacation Villas, Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
Well, Well, it is indeed January, and they all say that January is a time when you begin to think about your holidays once again. So what better time than to come to a holiday planning segment? And I've got to say thank you to David Ullman, who sent me a message on Facebook that said the following. Said, "Hey Adam, any tips for two people who haven't been to Disneyland Paris for 5 years? Everything will be new and we have no plan." And I thought to myself, actually, that's very true. You know, if you are somebody who's been to a Disney park, you've been to Disney World or Disneyland Paris, and you've not been for 5 years, just what should you do to make sure you still have a great holiday? You're not a newbie by any stretch of the imagination, because you've been to the parks before, but we wanted to talk about what tips we think we could give to do with helping those people who've not been for a few years. So that's basically what we're going to do now. So we'll go around. Let's give a sort of almost a tip each and see how far we get. So, Juz, do you want to start us off with something?
Yeah, if you go to Walt Disney World, go to Harry Potter. It's a new place. Brilliant.
Oh, I'm just killer.
I think you've got to, if you've been there before, you've not been that time, you've got to do the planning, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. Because it's going to be old classics you want to see, but if you've not been for that period of time, even just 3 years, you mean, you look at, I mean, how old's Toy Story Mania now?
Toy Story Mania was 2006?
2006, exactly. So, I mean, you look at that and you look at how things have changed, and, you know, Hall of Presidents changed 2 years ago. I think my priority will always be is hit the ones you haven't done first and then go back into nostalgia mode.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. That's one of the things that I put down, was that idea of finding out where all those new attractions are and working it out. With the other... excuse me, I'm dying here.
Woohoo!
Applications for a new host to podcast at disneybrick.com.
Anyone, please. We're not
anyone at all. It doesn't really matter at all. I sort of, extending from what you just said there, was picking out all of the new attractions from each park and then working out your parks in priority in accordance to the new attractions that you want to see the most. So you give yourself plenty of time for each one. But yeah, you're dead right. It's about saying what's new, what are we bothered about, and how does that work? So, for example, Juz, I know it's been a couple of years since you last went. You're probably not going to put something like American Idol Experience over the top of another more higher rated attraction. So you're not necessarily going to put Hollywood Studios at the top of your list.
Hell no.
Oh, you might. I don't know.
Depends. I won't.
Give him a few beers and he'll be out there auditioning.
Don't think so.
Craig, what you got?
Well, do you know what? Right, I have a seat, boys and girls, because I had this idea a long time ago, right, that what you do, or what you need to do is, and I was going to do this and never got around to it, one of my wonderful ideas I never got around to, but every year I was going to create a photo record of Walt Disney World. So you take a picture, overhead pictures, you know, aerial shot, all of these sorts of things, all of the rides, all the different lands, all the restaurants, everything. And you know, a great big lovely colour book that you can sell, make a fortune, Adam. But every year you have one of those. So whilst... and you have it for the year. So, you know, you'd have 2011 pictures in it for this year, 2012 next year. But you only change the pictures that have changed. So you've got a record of what's changed. So the first thing I would do is get me my time machine, go back 10 years, do my book, and then say to David, what you want to do is get my book for 5 years and see what's happened to change. Seriously, though, I think what he needs to do is he needs to do some research to find out what has changed in the 5 years since he last went there. Because, you know, even us thinking about it in frequency that we all go, it's very difficult to work out, well, when did Toy Story Mania start? You know, when did they build this? When did they build that? There's some obvious recent changes, like changes to Space Mountain and so on, that he needs to do. But, you know, how long is he going to go for? What's he going to prioritise? He's, you know, you're obviously going to do it all again. So what does he want to miss out? I would probably just scrap off, you know, Hollywood Studios and concentrate on the other parks, apart from going to do Terror Terror.
You'd scrap it off completely?
No, it depends on how much time he's got. I mean, I'd go there just to go on, you know, Terror Terror and see Beauty and the Beast. But Toy Story Mania that he'll queue up for Fastpass. But no, seriously, he needs to work out what he's changed in kind of 5 or 6 years. And you can do that, you know, even from Wikipedia and work out when things opened. But, you know, if he's going for, you know, the standard 2 weeks, you know, I would save yourself a day by not going to SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. Obviously, outside of Disney, he's going to be going to Plopperland. So within Disney, you know, what's changed in 5 years? Well, you know, the hotels have all, a lot of the hotels have all been refitted and changed and grown. You've got, you know, Treehouse Village, you've got Bay Lake Tower, you've got all those sorts of things to go and explore and look at. So, yeah, I think you've just got to do a list.
Okay. And by the way, we were miles off when it came to Toy Story. I say we, me, was miles off Toy Story Midway Mania opening. It was 2008, not even 2006, which is terrible that we were so far off. Okay, what have I got on my list? Let's have a look here. We're talking about research. I think that primarily is what this is going to be about. It's about us researching everything here and understanding how it's changed and what has changed. And one of the things that I thought about was this idea of researching ticket prices and ticket options. Disney have recently, or certainly within the past 5 years, have done the Magic Your Way tickets, which they've introduced. We've also got a change to some of the tickets for the UK traveller now, which have now got the golf in there instead of some of the other options that used to be in there. So the ticket options there have changed, which will probably give you different options and ideas of what you're going to go for. You've obviously in the UK got things like the 5, the 7, the 14, and the 21-day ultimate ticket. And also for Disneyland Paris, you know, there's been some changes in ticket prices. Obviously, you've got the addition of the extra park, which was there 5 years ago. But you're now looking at, you know, do you do one park? Do you do two parks? Do you do one park in one day? Or do you do two parks in one day, etc.? So ticket options, certainly, we talked about, I think, this before, I think, in the US. And certainly on Destination Disney, we've talked about the idea of how the differences between UK and US tickets. And Craig, I think you worked out just how many days you have to go into the parks for it to be more valuable for you to get an annual pass. Was that right?
I did. I think it was about 10 or 11 was the break-even point to buy an annual pass from the UK.
So obviously that's going to make a big difference as well. So definitely ticket prices and options are something to look at. Juz, you got something else?
You know, to be honest with you, it's something which is, you know, intangible in some ways, because don't forget, you know, if you're talking 5 years, let's say, you've changed. Mm. And I think, you know, if with me with kids, it's very much, you know, what I'd go in 5 years ago, I wouldn't be touching now, because, you know, I certainly wouldn't touch Fantasyland with a barge pole. You know, and but you as a person change. So, you know, if you went as a 15-year-old and then 5 years you go to Disneyland Paris or you go to Walt Disney World, your expectations change. Some of the stuff that you think was amazing at 15 probably isn't amazing now you look back at it. But your appreciation changes, so you end up, you know, I quite like wandering around the resorts. You know, I'm a huge, I would take Epcot over Magic Kingdom as one, you know, if I had a choice of only one place to go, because, you know, according to Craig, I'm silver and old. And that's the kind of place that these people go. So I think what you need to take into account is you've changed. So, you know, your perception of rides will change. You know, if you're 15 years old going on Space Mountain and 20-year-old going on Space Mountain, you'll have completely different perceptions of that because you've changed physically, mentally, and everything. So I think, you know, what we say about nostalgic rides, be prepared that things have changed and not quite how you remember them, for the good or worse, but they will be that way.
That's a very, you don't point. Fit.
Well, yeah, or you don't fit in them anymore.
No, that's when you, if you're between my, when you get to my age, you don't fit in anything.
Also, to add on to that, children as well. If you've got children who you've taken before, or this may be the first time you've taken children in all those years. I've certainly spoken to people who said, oh, we went when we were younger, but we've not been because we didn't have kids, and now we've got kids, we do. It's thinking about, you know, Kieran was six, was he, when he first went on Space Mountain?
Four for Space Mountain.
Four for Space Mountain. There.
Four and a half. He never gets anything right.
I know, anything right. No. He's a brave boy. But it may be that your child was obviously too young for that, and you may have decided that as a family you weren't going to ride that. So it's not just you. Obviously, yeah, you're the members of your family as well. I think about some of the stuff I would have done 5 years ago to what I do now, and they're probably a lot different. Craig, have you got something else?
Oh, you know what? One thing I think you need to look at is food and how that's changed and how, you know, restaurants have evolved and dining plans. There was never 5 years ago, I'm not going to do an Adam and say this is absolute fact, but I'm sure there were no dining plans 5 years ago. And also the quality of off-site hotels has changed and where you stay. So things like... you know, where the communities have changed up along, you know, the 192 and 27 around there. And, you know, 5 years, houses that are 5 years old now actually look quite old compared to a lot of the new modern communities and hotels that have come up. So I think I would do some research on where I was staying and where I was going to eat, because the dining plan is certainly a consideration. If you like your food like Adam, you can certainly get your money's worth. And other restaurants outside, you know, there's different chains cropping up all the time, and some that you remember being good 5 years ago might not be so good now, and some that were good then might not be now, and some that were never good probably still are never good. So I would do some looking around those things.
I think it's a very, very good point. I think dining plans started around 2005, so we are about 5 years ago. But also, we look at restaurants, and you brought up a fantastic point about how restaurants change. I don't think Le Cellier was anywhere near a number one spot, was it, 5 years ago?
No, it's the Tinternet that's made it all famous,
yeah,
isn't it?
So now everybody's desperate to go there, and there is that change to the restaurants, there is that change to the hotels, as Craig rightly says. You know, you look at a villa you would have stayed in 5 years ago that maybe isn't quite up to the standard that it was 5 years ago, and you might think about staying in other places. Communities change. I'm sure, Craig, that you would be able to name communities that were well worth staying in 5 years ago that aren't necessarily worth staying in now.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's a lot more now right bang in the centre of kind of Disney area. So and how they're kitted out as well. I mean, you know, these houses are phenomenal, and you know, no disrespect to anyone's house in the UK, any of us houses, but you stay in one of these villas and the space that you have, you know, pool in the back garden, it's very, very easy to be wowed by any villa that you see, until you see the one next door that actually is even better, because it's got, you know, great big plasma screens and they've got cinema rooms, and it's phenomenal the level that you have over there. And so, you know, it's very easy. You might have stayed in a villa 5 years ago that had TVs in every room, but they're little, you know, big fat 19-inch ones. And now they've all got flat screens, they've all got Xboxes, PS3s and all the rest of it. And so you can, I think, get hooked into what you remember rather than looking at what you can get now.
Yeah, definitely. If we look at Disneyland Paris as well as part of this whole sort of package, some of those restaurants there have also changed. There's also Val d'Europe, which has now really sort of built up a lot of the hotels that it has there, some that they didn't have 5 years ago. And we also look at some of the changes in some of the hotels. You stayed at, as you call, Sequila Lodge.
Sequila Lodge, yeah.
Last year. And you were saying how it's starting to look a little bit run down now and is work doing to it. Whereas five years ago, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. We look at places a little bit further out, where there's some really great hotels that are a 5 or 10 minute drive from Disneyland Paris itself that are actually really great that weren't there 5 or 6 years ago. So that's something worth looking at. And I put down looking at things like, obviously, forums, a place like TripAdvisor, which I use a lot, TripAdvisor, for when I'm looking for hotels. Obviously, don't take it as absolute law, because there are a lot of people who will put things on there no matter what. But also, you know, you've got your guidebooks that are really useful. Some guidebooks now are certainly putting star ratings dependent on questionnaires that people have handed in about hotels, about restaurants, about all of those sort of different things that are really, really useful. Of course, we've got the Orlando the Family Guide, which is a very useful book. Is it not, Jez?
Yeah, has its moments.
But it's aimed at families, which a lot of them aren't, so that's quite fun if you're going with a family to see what's good, and all tried and tested by a very able reporter.
Yes.
Adam.
Mrs. Griffiths.
Because then it'd be all wrong.
It would all be wrong. is it Craig's turn now? Is it my turn? I don't remember.
I just had mine and you said it was brilliant, so it's probably Juzzy.
It's Juzz then. Juzz, what have you got?
No, I think you covered it. I was going to do the hotels, but you covered it. But the only thing I'd say is do a guide. You've got to do a plan.
Yeah, I think we stick with that plan. My next point on here was touring plans. We talk about touringplans.com. They have crowd calendars on there that actually are very, very useful, because what they do is they give you a crowd level dependent on how busy they think the park's going to be, and that gives you some idea of about which ones to avoid. So, for example, New Year's Eve, Epcot, Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios were crowd level 10, which is the absolute maximum, and Animal Kingdom was somewhere around a 6. So if you're looking at that, that's something worth looking at, because patterns do change. I think we can look at that perfectly with Universal recently, how the pattern was people just didn't go to Universal. And now, what with the opening of Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Island of Adventure has got more people than it's ever had, and it's now causing issues with regards to the changing of their annual passes and all that sort of thing. So crowds do change. Look at 5 years ago, what was that, the opening of Expedition Everest, Animal Kingdom? And now that seems to have calmed down a lot more, and it will be now things like Magic Kingdom will get busier again once the Fantasyland expansion opens, etc. So it does switch and change depending on what's going on with the parks. It's worth looking at that as well. Has anybody else got anything else they want to add?
I was thinking, actually, going back to hotels, just what ones have opened, and is it Pop Century? No, that was early. That was much earlier, wasn't it? What about the Animal Kingdom Villas? They're quite recent, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't.
So, you know, yeah, I don't know, 2008, something like that. But they're going to be, you know, other ones to have a look at, depending again what, you know, what you want to stay, deluxe, moderate, value. But I don't think there's any new value ones. I think Pop Century was the last one, and that's kind of like 2002-ish or something.
The Animal Kingdom Lodge, I think, was beginning of 2000. It was the Kidani Village, wasn't it, that was the newest?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
The Villa Bits was the new, isn't it?
Just, do you remember what year Pop Century opened?
1901.
I think that was 2003, 2004, somewhere around there. I don't know.
I can find out for you. December the 14th. Actually, Debbie's birthday, 2003.
December 13th. 14th. And so, anybody else got any others? There's just one more I think I had written down here, which goes back to dining again and recreation.
We always go back to dining.
We always seem to end up back in dining, don't we? My one, very, very quickly, is to check the reservation windows for dining and recreation. Disney have altered and re-altered and re-altered again the timing windows. We went from 180 days down to 90 days, then we went back up to 180 days, and then different recreation options altered from 90 days to 60 days to whatever, depending on what it was that you're booking. So check the reservation windows, because they may have changed since you've last been as well.
And online reservations for your dining.
Of course.
There you go.
Good shout.
They call me Mr. Disney. Yeah, so that's the other thing. You can check what's available, what day you want to go. So you're not waiting and trying to call America, although it's reasonably cheap now with the Tinternet and all the ways you can do it. But, you know, you can do it online yourself and put all your reservations in.
Yeah, and you can access that slightly earlier as well to what you can on the phone. But yeah, that's a really good shout. I didn't even think of that. The fact that you're able now to book online all of those ADRs and have them sent to you.
Aye, thank you.
And those of you in the UK, Disney are now offering villas outside of Walt Disney World. So villas that are located nearby as part of packages as well.
Yeah, I've got signed the contract for that, yeah.
You wish.
Yeah, you wish. He's got enough Disney stuff in it to make it look like it's owned by Disney, though, let's be honest. But so hopefully that's given you some tips. Even if it's, you know, you've not been for a couple of years, there may be some things there that might be useful for you, certainly with some of the changes like the online dining reservation system. And that's really everything, I think. I don't think there's anybody got anything else they want to add, finally, before we go?
No.
Well, if you are planning on going over to Walt Disney World next year, or maybe the year after, or even this year, happy planning.
Happy planning, yes.
He's not going to say anything, is he?
Sorry, happy planning. I wasn't sure, was it like a new year thing you had to say it?
Yeah. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you once again for joining us for this edition of the show. We thank our sponsors, as always, Columbus Vacation Villas. You can find them at columbus-vacations.com. They are great for all your villa rental and your villa management needs, so please do go and check them out. Also, thanks to Juz and Craig for joining me, as always. And if you've got any comments, questions, suggestions, please do send them to podcast@disneybrit.com. We do reply to all of your emails, and we even, as you've noticed, we turn some of them into segments. You can still ring our voicemail numbers on 0121 288 2858 in the UK and Europe, and if you're in the USA, it's 407 545 7980. Make sure to check out our website at www.disneybrit.com, where we're trying to update the news as much as possible. Also, check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan pages over on Facebook, as well as friending up myself, Juz, and Craig. Apologies for some of the audio levels you've heard in my voice in this show. It's a couple of times where I was a little bit quiet. I've tried to tweak some of that audio, but some of it wasn't quite possible without it distorting or sounding really hissy. So, apologise for that. But one more thing to let you know about, of course, Mouse Mag. We've mentioned Mouse Mag before. We haven't really mentioned much more about it. But the very first edition of Mouse Mag, issue 1, is now available. It is completely free of charge for you to look at. You can get it as a PDF download from our website, disneybrit.com. You can have also get it through lulu.com. There's a link on our website, and we can get a print copy of the magazine if you wanted that as well. You wanted to print it rather than read it online. That's absolutely fine. We've given you a PDF version, so you're able to look at it on your iPad, on your iPhone, on your iPod Touch, as well as on your computer. And also, we're hoping to have a flash version, online version, very, very soon for you to look at. You can, of course, contribute to that magazine. Again, podcast@disneybrit.com. You can contribute to that. And if you haven't been able to find the magazine, don't panic, because we have also included it as a download through the podcast feed. So you can get hold of that download right now if you click onto the feed, if you've not done so already, and you can click it from there. Of course, leave us a review on iTunes. We're appreciative of that. And remember to listen out to our radio show on 1410 AM Heartbeat Radio between 11 PM and 1 AM on Friday nights at 6 to 8 PM EST. You can listen at heartbeatradiousa.com as well. Visit the websites destinationd.info and also, of course, the Iron Orlando radio show, ironorlando.com. We've also got ioncelebration.com as well. You can go over and check that out with everything to do with Celebration. And then, of course, those shows are also available to download on iTunes. And that's really it. That leaves us with nothing else to say, but the next edition of the show will be on Wednesday, the 19th of January. So until then, I'll see you.